What I'd like to do tonight is read some verses in Romans chapter 5. I'll begin reading in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, is abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now in this passage of Scripture that I read, God is revealing to us the effect that two men had upon multitudes of people. He's talking about the one man Adam and Adam's act and the consequences of that which Adam did. But he's also revealing to us the act of another person, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, and the consequences of what Jesus Christ has done. It is no longer that which each person does that's under consideration in these verses. It's not what you have done, nor is it the sin nature that's under consideration in these verses. But it's talking about what one man did, that is Adam, and the consequences of Adam's act. Now I realize that there may be those that raise the question that that's not fair for God to do that. But I'd like to nail down again my view on that argument. That when you're talking about God and the works of God, the argument of unfairness is never proper. It's never proper to argue the position or argue unfairness when you're talking about the works of God. It may be right to say it's unfair for our political leaders to involve all the taxpayers in the city of Memphis in putting up a building for the Grizzlies. When I say that's unfair to do that, I have no interest in that. I probably will never attend the game there, so it's unfair for them to tax me to put up a building for a millionaire. And that may be a good argument. Or it might be proper to use the argument that little Johnny says to his parents, it's not fair that you let my sister Mary go and spend the night with her friend and you won't let me go and spend the night with mine. That might be a legitimate argument. Beloved, but it's never legitimate. When we're speaking about the things of God and the works of God, it's never legitimate. It's never proper to use the argument that it's unfair. Beloved, what God does is right. But in these verses, God is revealing to us what Adam did and the consequences of Adam's transgression. how it affected all mankind. Mankind was so connected with Adam that when Adam sinned, we all sinned in Adam. God is not describing my personal sins in this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul did that back in chapter 1, 2, and 3. But in this passage, he's talking about what one man did and how that affected me and affected you as well. He says in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." The consequences of Adam's transgression was to bring death upon all men by his one act. Death came upon all men. But also it says in chapter, and to prove what Paul is saying, by that which we also know. He says in verse 13, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned at the similitude of Adam's transgression, which is a figure of him that was to come." Now what's Paul saying? Paul's saying there was no written or oral law given to man from Adam to Moses. God had not given any law to man, either oral or written. I realize that man had the law written in his heart. But it was no oral or written law given from Adam to Moses under which man was under, which he transgressed. And yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those that had not sinned in the same way that Adam did. So that's pretty conclusive, that what God has revealed to us is the truth, that all died in Adam. And beloved, there was multitudes that died from Adam to Moses, and they all died as a consequence of Adam's transgression. They all died as a consequence of Adam's transgression. Now that's important for us to know that. I'll speak about it a little bit later. But it's important for us to know that. Beloved, this is the answer to many of life's problems as we understand what God is revealing to us in these verses. But look in verse 15 where it says, "For if through the offense of one many be dead," this is not that, as it says in verse 12, that through the offense of one man, sin into the world and death by sin. But he's speaking about here in this verse that, "For if through the offense of one many be dead." And he has reference not to physical death, I believe, in this verse, but he's talking about separation from God. By one man's transgression, by one man's offense, one man's disobedience, all mankind were alienated from the life of God. Dead. Dead, as the Bible speaks about, in trespasses and in sin. Alienated from God. Out of communion with God. Having no desire for God. Hiding, running from God. Dead. But also it says in verse 16 that through the offense of Adam, "For the judgment was by one to condemnation." By the one act of Adam, the judgment of God came upon all men to condemnation. Now, I'll probably say something further about this, but beloved, this judgment of God has never been set aside. This judgment that God pronounced upon Adam that brought condemnation has not been set aside. And it wasn't set aside for you. By the one act of Adam, God's judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Then he says, and I would repeat, that has not been set aside. Beloved, that is in effect today, as much as it was when Adam transgressed in the Garden of Eden. But note what it says in verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, here's now death passed upon all men, but now death is reigning as a monarch, as one of authority, one with power. It's reigning. By one act of Adam, death reigns. It has authority, it has power. And its power comes through sin. And by the sin of Adam. But note what he says in verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. This one act of Adam, the effect was upon all men to condemnation. And I repeat, this judgment of God has not been set aside. In verse 19 it says, for as one man's disobedient, many were made sinners. That is, many were made, they were set down as sinners by the transgression of Adam. And then in verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's important for us to have this knowledge that God has given to us. For we might come up with some conclusion as to why it is that these little white coffins are being carried to their burying place. We might give a logical human reasoning as to why and say, well, they were born with a birth defect, or they developed some kind of disease in their infancy that took their life. Beloved, but the root cause and the real reason why that these little coffins are carried to the burying place is because of the Adam's transgression. Beloved, these little children that are carried to their burying place have never sinned in their own right. They've never committed one sin. And yet we know that death is a consequence of sin. We who have a spiritual mind and spiritual understanding know that death is caused by sin. The soul that sinneth shall die. Well, so it's good to know why these little babies die. They have not sinned in their own right. There's no personal sin that's charged to them. So why? It's because they sin in Adam. When Adam sinned, they sinned. This is God's revelation to us. And it's good to have that knowledge. But also, and bless God, multitudes today praise God that another man, that is Jesus Christ, has come. And the consequences of his actions had blessed their life. And we have that also included in this. We have the federal headship of Adam on the one hand, and all those that were in Adam died in Adam. When Adam transgressed, we all transgressed in Adam. But also Christ Jesus is the federal head of the family of God. And what Christ did, they did. The consequences was that what the Son of God did, they also did. It's given to them. It's charged to them. And so that's a great blessing to have that knowledge. Multitudes today praise the Lord for that, as they've come to understand that what the Son of God has done, that the power of sin is broken and the grave has lost its victory. As it says in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul said, O grave, where is, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is conquered. The grave has lost its victory through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the verses considering Adam's sin and the consequences of Adam's transgression, God is not revealing to us the sins of men, but it's the poison that flowed to us through Adam. It was a poison that God is discussing that came upon all men through the consequences of Adam's transgression. I mentioned a moment ago that the judgment of God to condemnation has not been removed. Beloved, that stands. As when God passed judgment upon Adam, and the judgment was to condemnation, God didn't change His mind. God didn't sweep under the rug. God didn't say, okay, there's a certain class of people that were in Adam that I'll just ignore what happened. I'll just not bring condemnation upon them. Beloved, what happened was that the Lord Jesus Christ came under the judgment of God and did suffer the condemnation for all those that were given to Him. And therefore, God did not pass over His judgment to condemnation. Beloved, but the Son of God bore that for you and satisfied the judgment of God and that condemnation that should have fallen upon you. But look what it says in verse 15, talking about the one man, Jesus Christ. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Through the one man, Christ Jesus, the free gift of grace hath abounded unto many. All those that were given to Christ in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world are the ones to whom this free gift has abounded towards many. But also in verse 16 it says, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification of life. The free gift, though there be many offenses, brings justification of life. Verse 17, it says, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I want you to note, beloved, what it's saying here. It's not saying that you're going to reign in heaven with Jesus Christ, but it says that you're going to reign in life by Jesus Christ. And the word reign is R-E-I-G-N. It's not like rain that falls out of the heaven. But it's like one who has authority. One who has control. Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. No wonder the Apostle Paul could say that I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. As Brother Timothy was preaching this morning about, Christ was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Beloved, you and I now, through the resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ, are able to say to our adversary, the devil, get thee behind me, Satan. Reign in life. Yes, beloved, through what Christ Jesus has done for us, we can overcome the world. We reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now that's good to know. Through what Jesus Christ has done, we may reign in life. Beloved, we don't have to go through life being defeated. Jesus Christ has done something for us. And has given us a position in the world whereby we might live a victorious life. But we must do it through this one person, Jesus Christ. We'll not have victory by striving to have it through the arm of the flesh. But we must do it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Paul would go on to tell us in chapter 6 of this Roman letter that sin is not to reign over us anymore. That the old man has been crucified. And that we're not to yield ourselves unto sin, but to yield ourselves unto God. But that through what Jesus Christ has done, we don't have to let sin rule our life. We don't have to submit unto sin. Through what Jesus Christ has done, we have victory over it. Reign in life, my one. The point I make, and I believe the thing that God is revealing to us here, is we don't have to wait till we get to heaven. Beloved, we can reign now through what Jesus Christ has done. As He said, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. How sad it is, having so much at our disposal, to lead a defeated life. Having been given so much by the Lord Jesus Christ, to not take advantage of our position in Him. But looking at verse 18, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men under justification of life. Through the righteousness of the Son of God. The apostle, in writing to the church at Philippi in chapter 2, I believe it is, he said, if I can quote it, yea, doubtless, if I get the first word, I'd use the quote one. Yet doubtless, I count all things but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. This great apostle Paul, who previously in that chapter had said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he have whereof to trust, I more. And he goes on and lists the things that Paul might trust in if he would. But he did not. He laid all that aside. All that pedigree of the apostle Paul. The position he held in Israel, all that was laid aside. And Paul made his stand upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And beloved, that's where you and I are to stand as well. Do we expect to be justified before a holy God? There's only one place to stand. It's not in what I have done, not in my works. But it's in what the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done. That's what the verse is teaching us. Even so, by the righteousness of one, by the righteousness of one person, shall many, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. Then in verse 19, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now all that I've said I've put on a little visual demonstration. I realize that other objects might serve a better purpose than putting on this visual demonstration. But consider my hand to be Adam. And all these are the descendants of Adam, represented by these songbooks. When Adam acted, in the Garden of Eden, all those that were in Adam acted in him. And when Adam sinned, they all sinned and fell. And they fell into such a deep pit that there was no possibility that anyone would ever escape on his own from this pit in which Adam fell. That's a reality from the Word of God. No one has ever scratched his way out of this hole. And where they fell in Adam, and death passed upon them, death reigned over them, they died, the judgment of God fell upon them, the condemnation. That's what happened when Adam transgressed in the Garden of Eden. All that went Adam, and that's every descendant, every human being that's been born or ever shall be born in the world, fell in Adam. But there was another man, Jesus Christ. And this hand is going to represent Christ. Now Jesus Christ, and the reason why I have two song books, that all that fell in Adam did not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were some that are still under the reign of death. There are some still under judgment and condemnation. And that sentence has not yet been set aside by God. But this hand represents the Lord Jesus Christ and those that were given to Christ and the covenant of grace. Jesus Christ did undertake for them. And when Jesus Christ did undertake for them to do that which the Bible says He did here in these verses, He raised them up out of that pit. And they were established upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And through His work, they were justified before God. Then all the blessings that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ are theirs. Now they'll never be Christ and they'll never be God. But all the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ become theirs. They become heirs through Christ to everlasting and eternal glory. As the Scripture says, that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He raised us up. Not to the level where Adam was before. Not to the level of angels, but He raised us above the angels. Beloved, that we might enjoy a place in the presence of God forever. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And it was through the one act of Adam, not through what you did, but through the one act of Adam, that all of our sins were covered. This represents the righteousness of Christ. All of our sins were covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were taken out of the way. And the imputed righteousness of Christ had been given to all the elect of God. And it's upon His righteousness that they stand justified before a holy God. And therefore, those for whom Christ did not die. And Brother Timothy talked about hell this morning. We don't talk about it much in the church, beloved, but it's a reality. All those that were not in Christ or were not given to Christ must yet suffer the judgment of God under condemnation. And oh, it's an awful sentence. It's a terrible thing for men to be under the judgment of God in condemnation. Beloved, but the reason why that you and I are not under the judgment of God in condemnation is because Jesus Christ was judged in our place. And the condemnation that should have fallen upon us fell upon the Son of God. You and I can never know the agony that Christ endured there upon the cross. You can describe it forever and you'll never understand the agony of the Son of God when He suffered the wrath of God. Yes, when He suffered the wrath of God that was due you there on the cross. When He suffered this vengeance that God had against our sins. But there are those that are yet going to suffer that judgment. Those for whom Christ did not die and did not take their sins. You and I have every reason to forever praise the Lord. Not only for our deliverance to heaven, but also for that which we were delivered from. Hell is a terrible place. The Bible speaks about it as a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. As Brother Timothy mentioned this morning in the Scripture, it talks about a place of outer darkness. Darkness, greater than that darkness that came upon Egypt when God cursed, sent the curse upon the land. Greater than the darkness that came upon the cross and the scene there when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, when there was no light present to see. A darkness. Yes, hell's a terrible place. Beloved, but you have, I trust, hope that you've been delivered from that place by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also have been delivered into the very presence of God. To all the joys and the blessings that have been promised to those for whom Christ did lay down His life. So in Romans 5, verse 12 through 19, we have the act of two men and the effect and the consequences of the actions of those two men is what's under consideration. He's not considering your personal sins, nor is He considering your own righteous deeds, but He's considering the deeds of Adam and the sin of Adam and its consequences and how it affected us. And He's considering the righteousness of Jesus Christ and how that righteousness has affected us. And it's by that righteousness that we're justified before God. Thank you.
I don't tell you no, my little Bobby's preaching. I said, I understand that clearer than I've ever understood it. I just read all the time about months and then I've read that for years and I've prayed more for some of my life. That was a sound preacher. Thank God for it. I agree with all I think for that.